I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Lost. This time it's episode 3. Tabula rasa, I believe is how you say that in Latin, which means a clean slate. More specifically, it's like a state of without prejudice or plan whatsoever. It's like a fresh start.
Absence of preconceived ideas or predetermined goals.
Yeah.
Seems appropriate for this episode.
Does it?
It more likely in the time it was created meant a scraped tablet.
Oh, that's what it means because like with the whole Kate. No. I think it's like with Kate and the fact that he says at the end.
No, that's 100% what it means in this episode.
Yeah.
I'm saying the original Latin referred to a scraped tablet.
Oh, like they're like slate. They were like doing their arithmetic and they were like, okay, tabula rasa.
Yeah. Like a tablet on an iPad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back like then?
You take the tablet away from the kids and you scrape it.
Right.
And then they can't use
like an Etch-a-Sketch?
Yeah, like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Like, Peter, I'm trying to do my numbers. Can you give me a tabula rasa? That kind of thing?
I'll do it.
Oh, Peter Griffin is
who said Peter.
Yeah, we're three episodes in, and keep in mind, if you're new to the Streaming Things podcast, we're going to be speeding things up as soon as we're done with our Mission Impossible coverage. We'll do at least two episodes of Lost per week, because I know some of you are like, holy shit, you're really dragging this out. We got a long way to go. You're not wrong. We bit off a little more than we could swallow.
Well, A, you're not wrong. B, the point of doing this series was to have a stretch of time of content. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, writer's strike.
You're not wrong. It's also intended.
Yeah.
People have been messaging us a lot about other things that we could cover. Keep doing that. We're kind of book solid soon. For the near future, we're book solid. But I mean, we always take suggestions and stuff. And we have the Crossing Stream segment that'll debut 9 out of 10 Tuesdays each week. And that's where we can talk about like other things that we're not doing full coverage on, but that we are watching. We can discuss.
Yeah.
And things like The Witcher. And we talked about Silo, I think, a couple of weeks ago, which mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of. I'm actually disappointed because that would have been a great show for Streaming Things to cover week to week.
Mm. But how would we have known?
How would we have known?
How would we have
other
known?
Than the fact that I read the books and knew it was going to be awesome? How would we have known?
I've only seen the structures on farms.
Yeah, silos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's our Ohio roots coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched episode 3. I actually watched it like an hour ago.
Same.
And we have a play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap that we'll get into right after we talk about our overall thoughts. And then we have some fun segments at the end, including Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Which is just Steve. He's just going to enumerate some kind of background knowledge that he might have on the show, on the episode in particular, because Steve has seen the entire Lost show. He's an old hand at this thing. Madison and I are noobs. boobs, as they say. And then we'll do our Mile High Club moments, our three favorite moments from the episode.
It's kind of hard to say.
Mile High Club moments.
Yeah, huh? I struggle with it all the time. So when you just did that, I felt better about myself. Like, oh, thank God, it's not
when
just
you
me.
Fail, I feel so much better.
And that's how everyone
when Chris
feels.
Fails at speaking, then I know I'm in the right to fail at speaking.
It's also early here. We're not used to this, right?
Yeah.
Our brains are not fully
it's
flexed.
Early.
It's before noon. We never record before noon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true.
And we have our Passenger Princess segment where we talk about our favorite performance of the episode around the table. And then finally, we'll cap it all off with Lost and Found. And I understand now why Steve's doing this, but it's a segment where we enumerate all of the current active mysteries in the show and talk about which ones have been solved, which ones have been opened up. I made a video on TikTok about Lost, and I hope it brought a lot of listeners to the show.
Welcome if it did.
Lots of fans of the show. Lots of people who told me to stop, and I would thank them later. That's a dumb thing to say, because how would I thank you if I don't finish it? I won't know that I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's well known that a lot of people hate how the show ended up.
Yeah.
And then I said, I talked about the polar bear. I talked about a lot of current mysteries in the show, and I'm excited about learning what's going on with them. I got hundreds of comments of people saying, LOL, to this day, I don't know why the polar bear's there, my buddy. Fuck that show.
Well, I will say, if a person sent you that, they weren't watching the show. They explained the polar bear. Yeah, that is a mystery that is clearly explained if you're paying attention to the show.
Take that. Okay. Take that.
Because there's a lot of things the show ends and people, there are mysteries that aren't resolved.
Yeah.
The important ones are, but because some of them weren't people and people were upset with the finale, people piled on and you know how people pile on like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, actually it does. You forgot about it and now you're piling on.
People pile on online?
Online all the time.
Weird.
I've always had such a good experience with most people. By the way, this is a good time to announce. It's actually a terrible time because it's Thursday that you're listening to this. I'm changing my name. And I wanted to tell you guys on the air to address me thusly from now on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I did a video about how actors who had changed their names did, like, for instance, did you know Tom Cruise's real name is Thomas Mopather IV?
I think I did know that.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx's real
good
name
call on his part.
Is Eric Bishop.
Another good call.
That's a dope name.
It's exactly. Eric Bishop was already cool, but he did it because he claimed that when he was a stand-up comic, they would always make room on the set list for women. And so he made his name androgynous so that they would try to pick him to get their women fill.
Oh.
Like, Jamie, you're up. And he'd be like, yo, you know,
gotcha. Jamie.
So there's a bunch of those. And I started thinking like, so it's not that these people were born with these famous
names.
What
a wholesome story of a man taking jobs from women.
Right. Love that.
What a wholesome story that was.
So it's not that these people were born with these famous star names. It's that they chose the name to become a star. And so that I have that ability. And so it is. Oh, and I also found out, this is the last one. Kit Harington's real name is Christopher Harrington. And Kit is a shortened version of Christopher in many countries, just not really America very much.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
I think Kit's a cool name.
Exactly, which is why my new name is Kit Laser. And you will refer
Kit
to
Laser?
Me.
Yeah. Kit Laser? Do I have to call you the full name
every
time?
You can just call
me Kit. Oh, Kit.
Well, okay. I feel like it's one of those things where you can't just call George Clooney George. You have to say Kit Laser.
But I think you can call George Clooney just Clooney.
Yes.
So you just call me Laser?
Laser.
Hey, Laser.
So Laser? I've actually changed it to Kit Laser on all social medias, and I will really be.
Have
making,
you really?
I really will be making this a thing, because it might be the thing that just catapults me. You know,
Kit,
it's
Laser.
Kit Laser.
Kit Laser,
formerly known as Chris.
Nope.
This is my good friend Kit Laser.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I don't hate it.
Sorry, that's the only laser sound I have on my.
Yeah, it
Star
sounded
Trek
a little
board.
Weak. It sounded a little original Tron-y.
This
you
is
know?
Technically a phaser.
Oh,
Kit Phaser.
That would explain it.
Or what about this? Kit Laser.
That's much
good.
Better.
Okay. That's good.
But okay. I would prefer a lightsaber.
That's not a mobile.
Or pew, 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 pew.
Yes.
Those noises.
Just if you could just hang out around me when I introduce myself, just pew, pop pew. Up over my left shoulder.
Hi,
pew, pew.
My name's Kit Laser. Pew, pew, pew.
That's part of Vinny's job as your hype man.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting new names on the show except me. We got Vinny.
I forgot about
we
Vinny.
We got Kit Laser.
Vinny.
You're just Steve. You were Stu.
I was Stu.
The original inception of the show, you had a different name.
I did.
So overall thoughts on episode 3 of Lost. Madison, walk us through what your brain's been thinking.
So I think we're starting to get into more of the characters. You know, I really enjoyed the flashbacks with Kate, kind of figuring out where she's from. And I have a feeling the next couple of episodes will be kind of honing in on one character and kind of giving us some flashback pre, you know, context to who these people are. So I'm looking forward to that. And I liked how, you know, everything that has been done in the first and second episode has kind of mirrored this idea of like Kate is this criminal person now, so we really need to know who she is and like what her deal is. So I think the delivery of kind of what is happening with her character in this episode was done really well. But yeah, no, I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really fun. I liked getting to know who Kate was and kind of seeing some other things unravel. I feel like this one was a lot lighthearted than the past couple of episodes. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like there were a lot of
it was really funny, but I don't think it was intended to be, personally.
Sure. Yeah.
Some of it was obviously intended to be, but there's a couple things I don't think were supposed to be as funny as they were. Maybe well, they were.
I can't wait to see what that is.
Are you talking about Hurley?
Like no, Hurley's definitely supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
There's okay. Some other thing. I'll get to it.
It's, okay. Okay.
I was dying.
But I had a good time. I like this episode.
Steve? The old hand?
The old hand. What do you think about this? So this episode, I like this episode a lot. It's definitely a step down from the other two because the other two are just so, so great. But I do like the fact that we're getting to learn more about the characters, especially the characters that have been kind of in the wings for the most part. Like we get a little bit more Locke, more Michael, more Sun and Jin. I really love those characters. I want to see them more. I'm not the biggest fan, and I might get flack for this, but as a Lost person, I have never been the biggest fan of Kate specific episodes. Mm. Not so much because of Kate. For some reason, the side characters that are in Kate's past aren't strong. Mm. I think the guy that plays Marshall Edward Mars, the actor's name is Frederick Laney or Lane. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. That dude, I don't like what he's doing in the character.
He's very melodramatic.
He's so over the top. He almost seems like he should exist as a bully in an 80s movie and not in this type of show.
Yeah, he's giving Walker, Texas Ranger. You know?
Well, I think Steve, you even said previously that everybody does too good at their job in this show, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like he's definitely doing that.
I think Chris brought that up. Yeah.
Everyone's,
a job's worth is the title we learned. Ah. They call that across the pond. Someone who's like kind of obstinately good at their job and almost got a dick at it is called a job's worth.
Is that what I said it meant?
Yeah.
I didn't read it very closely, but I thought it was more.
I don't read the Discord.
Yeah. Well, my daughter has been very ill, and I've been.
Yeah, you've been dealing with some stuff.
Tabula rasa. Now we're back. Okay.
But yeah, this dude is a total job's worth. He is kind of Walker Texas Rangering it. I don't know why he was trying to run them off the road in that section, and he's like pointing the gun up, like finger guns at the window, like pew.
That's what I mean. That scene is fucking hilarious, and it's not supposed to be. Ray, pull over.
Right,
like the cop that you snitched on is here now. What is going on?
Yeah. I'm sure Ray is driving like. What's this fucking asshole
and
doing?
And then she drags him out of the truck that's on fire and she pulls his fucking arm off? That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny. But yeah, we'll get to it because that scene makes no goddamn
sense. That was really funny. I completely forgot that he didn't have an arm. It was just mentioned that one time anyway.
Yeah. I was like,
You did the Midwestern United States. Oh.
Yeah, well, that's where they were, you know? Yep. I liked Ray, though, talking about side characters.
Oh, yeah, I like Ray. It's just this dude in particular, I'm not a big fan of him in this world. Yeah, and so when the episode ends the way it ends, I'm like, nothing was lost. That's the name of the show.
You said Wings.
Oh, I like that band. Chris, what was your overall thoughts of this?
Wasn't
episode?
It a show too with the guy from Sideways?
It was a show. Yeah, you're right.
I also think obviously they had that big bombastic 2-part pilot, and so now this is obviously a step back. I did have a great time with this episode. I know that everybody originally watched this week to week, so it's like I'm having a real experience with it. But at the same time, it's so frustrating not to be able to just watch 9 episodes while I'm eating breakfast and chilling and stuff, because I think episodes like this would be so much more fun if I went straight into 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be.
And again, all four is supposed to be a legendary episode, right?
Four was the episode that made me like all in on the show.
So that's another thing. I won't talk about it on TikTok very often because it's dangerous.
Yes, TikTok is very dangerous for spoilers for you.
It is. But at the same time, I did get some interesting, it's kind of made it more suspenseful in some ways because it's like, A, everyone said that Sawyer was their favorite character, or a lot of people did. Sawyer is the only thing I've seen of him is like a xenophobic racist dude. Yeah. So it's just like interesting how that develops. But at the same time, I get it. Like Daryl's brother in The Walking Dead, I forget his name, became like a beloved character. And he started as a
Michael Rooker.
Yeah, Michael Rooker's character. He started as an ignorant asshole. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I've kind of been narrowing my eyes at Sawyer now. Like, huh.
Yeah, every show, you have to have character progression. So they have to start somewhere. Like, all these people are starting in a position that they're not necessarily going to be at the end of the show.
And a lot of people love Jen, too. So I'm like, interesting. Because, again, the only thing I've seen of him kind of sucks, except for a little bit of tenderness in this episode.
But even then, I'm like,
Yeah, but it's toxic, right? Yeah, it's like a gaslighty kind of,
It's like, you're dirty, go wash up, by the way.
I don't know why I got like Chicago gangster. Yeah, same. And also, so a lot of people mentioned episode four and an episode called The Constant. Everybody's like, it's literally one of the best episodes in the history of television.
Is amazing. That is not in this season, I don't think.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's in season two or three.
Interesting. But, so that's kind of interesting. But overall, Hurley's crushing it. I was really excited to get the name of, Scar Orange Peel guy.
The Constant is in season four. Sorry.
Dang, that's far. Yeah. So now we know his name's Locke, which is nice. We
don't John have to call Locke.
Him, which that's the name of the famous philosopher, if I'm not mistaken. Is that on purpose?
Probably.
Yeah, because he's like a very philosopher he type guy.
English philosopher and physician. Yep.
Very mysterious.
And even though the show so far has been better than this episode in particular, I think this episode contains my favorite moment of the show.
Really? I'm excited to see what this is.
I think you'll agree because I know that that's a character you're very fond of. So so that's interesting. And overall, I had a great time. So if you guys are ready, we can dive right in to the meat of this sandwich.
Let's do
Stop nibbling on this crust. I'm done with that metaphor. Don't worry.
Crust.
So it starts out, they're all
directed by Sean Whalen.
Plug. They're all going through the wreckage. And the marshal is back awake when it cuts back to them. And he's saying, don't trust her. She's dangerous. And again, he's overdoing it. But also, Madison, I want to apologize to Madison because I was very condescending, I think, in retrospect about your read of Kate's nefarious history. I was very dismissive at the very least. Like, I mean, she's obviously innocent or stuck in some kind of complicated situation, not like a killer, right? However, it's obvious by the marshal's overacting that you're supposed to read that she's potentially dangerous because he literally says she's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Like he's panicking in such a way that fucking Hannibal Lecter is off his leash.
You let her out?
And like,
she's walking amongst you?
She'll bite you.
You fools.
Exactly right. It's just like, oh, okay. I guess she did some heinous shit.
I'm in terrible pain and I'm using my breath that is hard to let out of my mouth hole that she is dangerous.
I literally say for this man to be more concerned about doing his job than his fucking life, I'm just like,
yeah, she better have done some
wild shit.
What do you think Kate did? Do you guys have any bets you want to make on like what, or at least what she's charged with, what this guy thinks she did?
It's got to be murder or I'm going to be disappointed.
Mm. I feel like it has to be something that like was an accidental like murder or something along the line.
Tax fraud?
He's like an accountant. Like he's not actually an FBI agent. He's just an accountant.
Yeah,
he's
didn't file Form 872C.
You haven't seen her spreadsheets. She's a monster. She has to be stopped.
No organization whatsoever.
They're not tabulated or collated.
She fucked up my drapes.
That's what tabula rasa means.
That's the real underlying issue. She made the drapes she made were for drapes. Him. And he's just not about that life. He's like, I want my
fucking money back, bitch.
This is the last time I hire a contractor who's never done drapes to do my drapes.
So much light gets through. She said they were blackout. I wake up at 6 a.m.
I'm like this because I can't sleep because those blackout drapes have poor craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Jack's scar is all fucked up. It's like, I told you I couldn't sew. So yeah, the marshal's awake, and
the marshal looks at his scar and is like, Kate.
Kate did that.
Kate did that.
I recognize that shoddy craftsmanship that anywhere.
Your back looks like my drapes. And he says, get my jacket. And there's a mugshot of Kate.
Get my jacket.
Ooh, nice. But see what you did there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hurley
thank
says, you. As Hurley says, she looks pretty hardcore in that. And that's the Harrison Valley Police. I don't know if anybody bothered to look up like where Kate's from or where the marshal's from. I did not. I just noticed it said Harrison Valley Police.
Yeah, I type in Harrison Valley and the first thing that pops up is Pennsylvania.
Interesting. Mm. She got all the way to Australia from old PA.
Now, I don't know if that's actually Canada. Where she's from.
Right. And that's another thing. There's no way.
So Evangeline Lilly is she's from a Canadian Canada.
Actress. Yeah, you told us that about her and difficulties on the shoot.
She does do the sorry in that scene. So
sorry.
So that makes me think there's no way that she is guilty of those crimes because Canadians are way too nice and
diplomatic immunity.
That's what right. I mean. I think whatever she has done
Lethal Weapon 3-2
was an accident. Like, I think the intention was not to do something as bad as she did.
Sure. That happens. Things escalate.
Or maybe she's just, it's all a facade. I don't know. We'll get into it.
Yeah, we will. Mm. Hopefully soon. There's this end of this episode really frustrated me, but we'll get there. The Fellowship, we cut to them and they're all walking through the jungle.
I got to say, I started to write the Fellowship and then I was like,
Hold on. We're done with that.
I was like, no, I don't know. I was just like, why? Then I erased it and wrote the hikers because that's what I called them.
It's the Fellowship.
I was adapting your language in my text.
Yes, you
text.
Should. Because it's Meriadox there.
Meriadox there. That makes it a fellowship.
And they're always just a trekking and walking.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, they need to get second breakfast, so they got to set up camp.
Yeah, they said, you know, hey, if you keep walking, you're not going to make it. And again, it's back to the idea that they didn't tell them that there's dinosaurs out there.
Yeah, this is weird. So Saeed wants to camp. Sawyer doesn't. And they're like, you can't get to the beach by sundown. We don't want to walk during the night. And Kate's like, something will get you. And they're like, what?
Just trust me.
And it's like... did she tell them, hey, something killed the pilot? And they're just like, oh, probably that polar bear or probably something.
I think
right?
they were just, yeah, there's kind of a mistake in how they portrayed it, like you said.
Yeah, there's a really weird, like, what don't they know? Because she's implying that she didn't tell them about the big giant monster that she saw.
Yeah.
Or maybe didn't see.
Or maybe didn't see.
The thing that had the certain gargantuan quality in it.
It does have a gargantuan quality about it. And so
it wouldn't make sense why she wouldn't tell them. But anyway, go on.
But around the fire, Saeed maps things out and tries to figure out their sitch, right? And then they have a discussion about...
It would have been better if he had a leaf plane.
Yeah, he would have. Explained things better. And Charlie's like, hey, a satellite will find us. You know, they can see license plates. And, oh, it'd be better if we were wearing license plates. But, you know, satellites need to be pointed, right? They don't just find people, as he says.
They need to know where to look.
Sawyer's racist again. He calls him Abdul. And then said, let's talk about the French chick. I love French chicks. We got the French orc in the house.
It is me. I wish Sawyer would call me Freckles.
Yeah, he calls her Freckles. And it's interesting how Saeed kind of takes a leadership position here. Like this whole episode, Saeed becomes kind of a revolutionary leader or like a politician, right? And like a politician, he immediately decides... One thing we can't do is tell anybody the truth because we have to control how they're going to react. They're going to freak out. There's a dangerous thing when you lose hope. So instead, we're going to tell them we didn't get the signal. It's like, well, it's still bad news.
But I mean, he does. It's like a shit sandwich. He's like, guys, we didn't find the signal, but we're going to try again if we find more batteries.
Yeah.
Also, Sawyer's still with us. Shit sandwich.
Right. And I like how Hurley is on my side because he immediately comes to the conclusion it must be dinosaurs.
I wrote my notes. Chris,
did you remember that?
No, I didn't remember this exact line, but I giggled when he's like, is it dinosaurs, dude? Maybe it's dinosaurs. Page, Hurley. Dino DNA.
I resonated with Hurley this entire episode. I just was like, I am Hurley this whole in this situation.
Just hanging out. Pouring sand out of shoes, listening to your CD player.
My Walkman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the marshal's all sleepy. He looks kind of dying. Isn't that what Hurley says?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
He's kind of dying, dude.
And then he finds the mugshot and he's like, dude, she looks pretty hardcore. It's pretty freaked out by the mugshot, right?
Well, you're not hardcore unless you live hardcore.
And you're not hardcore.
Unless you live hardcore.
That's
the legend.
So good.
Of the something. Of the, it's way hardcore.
Legend of the Rent. The Rent, right?
I think you're mixing up the musical Rent.
No, I'm not. Don't gaslight right. me with my School of Rock.
You're right. You're right. So Hurley alerts Jack that the crew is back. And then Saeed lies to the group as per the plan, which strangely Sawyer goes along with. He seems like an agent of chaos, but he's down with it.
It is yeah. Rent.
There you go. Knuckles. The legend of the musical Rent. He tells him the transceiver did not get a signal, as Steve said, and he splits everybody off into three groups, and we can kind of see him like creating this whole society in the background. We hear it at least. There's going to be three groups, each with its own leader. I'll be one of them for sure. No big deal. I'm actually the leader of the leaders. We'll talk about that later. And then while they're doing that, Kate talks to Jack, and Hurley's all suspicious.
Do we skip the whole flashback?
Wait, hold on.
We definitely did not.
Yes, we did.
Yes, you did.
We also skipped the hikers.
Oh, I did. I scrolled past too far on my notes. Sorry. I was like, I definitely noted every flashback. So I'm sorry.
Well, no, we also missed the hiker or Boone going for Sawyer's gun.
Yeah, Boone steals the gun and he says Sawyer calls Saeed Al Jazeera. And they're like, Al Jazeera's a network.
I did like that.
That's funny.
As a media person, I kind of left.
And they all decide that Kate should hold the gun. For whatever reason.
Shannon is the one who said it.
And it's funny for the audience because we're like, oh, she's the least person to have the gun. She's a criminal.
She's hardcore.
Yeah, we already know. And then, I'm sorry, we get a flashback to Kate. And she's sleeping in a sheep pen. And the farmer finds her in there. She tells him her name's Annie. And then he feeds her eggies and bacon. We find out she's Canadian. So she's like, hey, it would be better if this was Canadian bacon. And he's like, what's that? And she's like, never mind. And then
it's like ham, but better, but also it's like bacon, but worse.
I love how the way the scene's written. It's funny to me because he's like, my wife died 8 months ago, and there's a beat, and it's kind of like, what are you getting at, buddy?
Yeah.
You could be my wife now.
It's awfully lonely out here on the ranch.
Was he Australian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It came out later.
When
he said down under, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, when they were talking, I was like, I couldn't remember if they were in Australia.
Do Australians refer to their outback as down under? Like cavalierly like that? Are they like, pretty nice day here, down under? Like, do they say it?
I mean, they probably
does. Honorary Australian.
Honorary.
Honorary.
Honorary. How do you say honorary in Australian, Steve?
Nice cone.
Honorary.
Honorary.
Honorary. Honorary. I don't know.
My wife died 8 months ago.
I'll give you a fair wage and a place to stay. And then it's right in my sheep pen.
Yeah, you can just stay there.
You can just stay there. Also, I don't have an arm. I'm a lefty.
Yeah, he's really excited about it.
Shout out to the lefties.
I love how he's cheeky about it. He's like, I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
And then he knocks on his hand, like the wooden hand.
How'd you lose that arm, Ray? On the farm.
That sheep you're cuddling with.
The sheep. Chewed my arm off.
She's a right. Never mind. So then Hurley alerts Jack that the crew has returned.
Dude.
Saeed lights up the group, forms the democracy. And then Kate.
Three separate but equal powers.
Indeed. It's more of an oligarchy, I guess. Kate. Talking about the branches of government.
Yes.
I will be the executive branch. And Kate talks to Jack and Hurley's looking on all suspicious. Right. And she's like, I got to tell you something. And he's like, cool. She's going to tell me the truth. Thank goodness. I don't have to be mad at her. So the signal, and he's like, dang, that's not what I was hoping you were going to say. So she tells him about the French signal and everything that was going on with that drama. And he's like, anything else?
I'm going to be real bitchy about this.
But Jack also doesn't tell her that he knows yet, you know, kind of some double lying by omission going on there.
Yeah. He woke up during surgery, but he didn't say anything.
A little hypocritical. Yeah, he wasn't dramatic at all.
That he is out of breath in every scene.
Yeah.
Look, the man's doing a lot, though. I get it.
It's true. You know? He had to walk to the beach with Kate. I'm worried about his cardio. He looks like he's in great shape, but she's walking next to him and she's fine. And he's like,
back off this monumental hike, too.
Kate, I don't want to be a bitch about this, but I got to sit down. Also, I'm squinting a lot. We're in shade, but I'm still squinting.
Yeah.
And what,
get that man some sunglasses.
You're right, Madison.
What does Jack and the term forever have in common? Squints.
Yeah. That was great.
Thank you.
That was great.
Hopefully,
good
people.
Job.
Hopefully, people get that one.
I got to be
that
honest.
Was good.
That's a little bit of a reach. Sandlot fans, where you at?
Sandlot.
Forever.
It's the beast.
So what am I?
When the monster showed up in the woods, it's the beast.
It's the beast.
One of my least favorite things about myself is the fact that I hate people that talk slow because of my anxiety. And you notice that I talk very fast. And so
you?
I have a tendency to finish people's sentences and stuff because I'm like, it like hurts me when I think I know where somebody's going. And so I have to say that for that reason.
You're just like, get it.
Jack
get it
is my least favorite Streaming Things character of all time.
Oh, really? Because it takes him a trip.
Like, it makes me physically ill.
Why are you...
Have you noticed
I haven't on this bit?
Have you noticed I haven't been yes anding your jack at
no,
all?
No, you're not.
It pains me physically. I just wanted to get that out in the open.
And I'm just going to say that because you told me that, I'm going to lean hard into it.
Keep going.
Fucking torture you in this bit because I know that now.
I'm not trying to like dissuade you. I'm just trying to let you know why I'm not playing, you know?
I'm going to get you to play along. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get
you
there.
It hurts me. So Hurley talks to Jack and he is like the audience surrogate, like Madison said, because he's like, wait, neither of you said anything? Because it's like it's frustrating as the viewer. Like, yeah, that would have been nice. And Jack's like, hey, the overacting guy in there needs way stronger antibiotics. This is like this is for like itchy balls and whatever he says. These are not strong enough.
Foot cream?
Yeah, is foot cream.
Foot fungus. Yeah.
Foot fungus.
So and he's like, so did you look inside the plane? You mean where there's like the bodies are in there and they're all dead?
Bodies, bodies, bodies.
Yeah.
Yada, 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 yada.
So Jack goes in the plane and Sawyer's in there.
Boo.
Looting, quote unquote. Boo.
I wrote Sawyer does a boo.
Boo.
Because just light comes on. Boo.
Well, at first I was like, oh,
I love that creep.
Are there zombies? Is this a new character we're about to meet that's been hanging out in the plane?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
There's some weird golem-esque dude that was on the plane. It's like, I feel more comfortable with the dead.
What's antibiotics, precious? I covered carry-on luggages.
The golem character recognizes Charlie and is like, I know you. Something like that.
Stupid hobbits.
Stupid hobbits.
What's antibiotics?
Amoxazole. And he says, you know, essentially this scene's kind of I didn't like Jack here because it's like he's like really I understand that Sawyer has not been a likable person in general. But it's like, don't accuse him of looting. Like you're stranded on an island. Everybody's going through useful items and stuff.
Yeah. What is the difference between what Sawyer's doing there and what everyone else is doing on the beach going through the luggages?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Now, he's probably being a little more selfish.
He's being selfish and hoarding.
He's looking for ciggies and booze.
But everyone else is doing that.
But also, I don't blame him for that either. I got to tell you guys, if I was in this, I'm sober and I quit smoking. If I was in this accident, I'm in there. Guess what I'm looking for? Ciggies and booze.
Yeah.
Because I don't like what's going on here. I'm not a survivalist and I just want to party.
And the Playboy.
Period.
Apparently there was a couple Playboys on the carry-on.
I definitely would have kept those too. Mm.
Who is reading the Playboys for the articles on the plane?
Yeah. Just me.
Walt.
Walt.
Like Kate, I would have been bathing in front of everybody, just trying to party. Water's nice.
You're right. Because Jack is very stupid. He's like, you steal it from the dead. It's like, there's really... nothing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. You might have this altruistic goal where like I'm getting medicine to help this dude and Sawyer's just getting some ciggies for himself. But what's wrong with that? No one in there is using that shit.
Sanctimonious much, no. Jack?
Wake up and smell the goal crap.
But in this scene, he also tells him that he's wasting all the pills, all the medicine and his time trying to save somebody who's definitely going to die. You know what you need to do kind of thing, right? And I forget how it happened, but I actually really loved how this ended. I laughed, but in like a way that says I enjoyed it because he's like, I'm in the wild. I liked it.
I'm good. A wild man.
This scene in particular, not to stray away, but for some reason, Sawyer in this scene reminded me of Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. And I don't know why.
It's the hair, maybe?
The hair.
But like
and
the Sebastian Stan version?
No, like actual Tommy Lee. Hmm. I don't know why. I just was like...
Like he would just steer a dick with it, or a boat with his dick. Yeah, steer a dick with his boat.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if it's just like the vibe. I don't know how he looks, maybe. But in this scene in particular, I just was like,
it's definitely the hair.
It's giving Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
Yeah, it's the hair and the overall misogyny vibe and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Plus, he also looks like he could play a mean set of drums.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think. And his name's Sawyer. Tom Sawyer, mean guy.
Yeah,
there's a Rush quality to it. I get it.
Yeah.
It starts to.
It's a great song.
So then Charlie is over helping. Do we know the pregnant woman's name?
Claire.
But do
I
we
don't know?
Know
if we.
Yeah, she talked to Shannon, I think.
Okay, so I can stop calling her preggers in my notes.
I think she introduced herself to Shannon last episode. But yeah, Charlie's like loading up a wheelchair with a bunch of suitcases,
Claire.
And he starts to help Claire.
And then at the same time, Son is trying to find Jen's bag. And while she's doing that, he's like, by the way, you're filthy. You need to go wash yourself. You're stankin'. Okay? And she's like, oh, okay.
I know we're in an open-air beach, but damn, girl.
But then he says,
from across the way,
I love you. Mm-hmm. Just to soften the blow of my abuse. I love you.
He's just looking out for her.
God.
And then we cut back to Charlie with Claire, and he's talking about her husband. Do you think, okay, I have a question. Maybe it's just me.
She doesn't have a husband.
Exactly. But he asked about
who him. Needs so, like, men? They're bloody useless.
Is he like, is he trying to be that baby's daddy?
He's definitely hitting on Claire.
I want to make sure. Flirting with her, yeah.
Because like at the end, where we leave Charlie and Claire is like, Charlie's fiddling with some stuff, and it like, it kind of focused, like they pull focus on Claire and the baby right behind him at the end of this episode. And I'm like, are they trying to make a Charlie Claire thing?
I think they are.
He's like, hey, we all everybody.
Well, in terms of a family unit, Claire is all everybody.
That's true.
In the family unit.
Mm-hmm. Me, you, and the baby, we all everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We all everybody.
And they're so you hiked for nothing, huh? So Hurley runs into Kate. He sees her gun and panics. And runs, essentially, is how that scene goes. There's a little bit of back and forth.
Oh, my God. I love Hurley's run away from Kate. Because he does
so
the,
good.
He does
the, I gotta get the water. Water.
And then there's that cut of him running away, and he does the.
Yeah. Is she chasing me?
He does the, I'm in a horror movie look back.
Is she chasing
it's
me?
So good.
And she looks worried, like he knows something's up here. Your best treat me weird. They know that I killed 10 men with my bare hands in Pennsylvania. And then it starts to rain while they're out there working. Kate crawls above the marshal in a horror movie kind of way. In a scene that's kind of silly, but I actually liked. I liked the where she's like, it's like when you have a baby and you're trying to check if they're still breathing. You know, like you just get really close. Like, you okay?
Right.
That's what she's doing. And then meanwhile, back at the farm. Do it, Steve.
Meanwhile, back at the farm.
Because we get another flashback. And she's like searching through the pantry. It looks like she's stealing for a second. But those are her wages. She's been hiding in the pantry.
Yeah. Which didn't make sense to me. I'm like, why would you hide it in a place that's a communal area and not.
Use your pocket.
Or just like
or
a
your,
place that
your
you are
pen.
Staying.
Maybe the sheep's a thief and she knows that about him.
Oh,
she already stole that
thief.
Dude's arm.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true.
It's, you know, it's classic Madison. You hide it in plain sight. The last place they'd look.
Yeah, she's like.
It's true.
And the sheep's like a liar about it. She's like, I was going to give it back.
Yeah, I was going to give it back. Just stick your hand in my pen. I won't take it.
But it's been 3 months that she's been working on this farm. She's been saving up for that Honda Civic she wants. And Ray, we find out later, already knows at this point that she's wanted and he's going to turn her in for $23,000. So he's like, why don't you just stay one more night? Even though he's not. He's Australian, not Southern American. However, it's funnier this way to me. And I'll drive you to the train station. And everyone deserves a fresh start, right? Like, he's very convincing about it. It's pretty sad in retrospect.
Yeah.
And we've got a saying down here in the bush. It's tabula rasa.
It's Latin. I don't know what for what.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Nobody sounds knows. Pretty cool, though.
Back to, we cut back to staring at the marshal. He wakes up and fucking chokes her, which is hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's not supposed to be funny. And then he like seizes out and rolls back, you know? I was laughing.
Stavers pushing 104. Abdomen. Rigid.
Please somebody write in and explain to me the obsession with the rigid abdomen, because they make a huge thing about it in this episode. Maybe it's a real thing.
Hey, when I expose my abdomen and you reveal the six pack down there,
I
don't say anything. So I say they're rigid.
Is Jack just being inappropriate?
Washboard abs.
He's like fever 104. His stomach's so taut. Wow, this guy works out.
I want to noodle these abs.
The heat radiating off of these abs.
He's giving me a fever.
Who needs a fire?
He's hot-blooded. Touch it and see.
Hot-blooded.
I spit all over my computer just now.
Gleeked everywhere?
I did.
You're thinking about...
Foreigner.
Yeah. No, you're thinking about abs.
That's right. Mm. And then Kate basically asks Jack to put him out of his misery. And it's an interesting scene because...
He'll feel it? Can you put it out of his misery?
You can't really tell if Kate's selfishly asking him this. And Jack thinks maybe because he knows that she's a criminal, but she doesn't know he knows. So he's like, oh, this bitch. She's trying to get me to kill the source of the snitch for her.
I'm not a murderer, Kate.
Yeah, you probably are. Kate. I don't know. Because there's no... jail tracker app.
They only do mugshots for murderers. We all know this.
Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah. How's your spreadsheets, Kate? Real suspicious about your ability to track your purchases. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices. The path forward is not always clear. Like, you never know. Sometimes I used to sell cars for a living, and I hated that job. But I made good money. I was able to buy a house. I was gone from my family all the time. I would podcast whenever I could. I didn't get to see many movies. I worked every Thursday night. It was terrible. But I was like, I got to do this. I got stuck in the middle class grind where I was like, hey, this is what's right for my family. Me to be miserable. We feel like we're stuck. We don't know what to do. So whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, sometimes in a relationship, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything else. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. And like I said, I had to have a lot of practice, and it was talking through that stuff with someone else that helped me. And that's why you could find a therapist using BetterHelp that meshes with your values and the way that you see life in that perspective, and they can talk you through in a way that you find valuable and that you understand. So you can do it entirely online, get matched with a therapist like this that you enjoy, that you find value in. And if you find that it's not working, you can switch at any time. It's extremely easy to switch it. So just think about that. Think about how close you are to finding a therapist to better your entire life. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. And then we cut back.
Meanwhile, on the farm. They listen to Patsy Cline.
And Ray, he snitched on her. We find out while he's driving her. They stop for breakfast and maybe jail. And she's like, what? He's like, what?
Stop at this diner. They make a mean burger.
Look, they knew you were down under.
Jail.
They knew you were down under.
I'm sorry, Kate. They offered me $23,000.
Yeah. Do we use dollars here? I don't know.
We use something. They also offered to put some shrimp on the barbie, and I could not deny it.
Also, that's not a knife.
It's not annoying.
And then, yeah, the marshal kind of... and this is so, this is like the beginning of the dumbest thing ever. Yeah, it's he pulls up, he gives her the finger guns.
It reminds me of the scene...
He does the kid laser. Pew, pew, yeah. Pew, 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 pew.
He reminds me of the scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Sorry, what was it? Kit laser?
Yeah. Pew, pew. Pew,
pew, pew. When the guy pulls up and he's like, pull over, the cop. And then he's like, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing. Yeah. That's what it's kind of reminding me of. That's how dumb it is.
You know what I want to thank for noticing?
Do it, Steve.
The month of June Patreon super patrons. Woo! Oh, my gosh. So these are people who subscribe to the show at a $25 or more a tier. And they literally are keeping the lights on along with many other people.
Keeping the lasers on.
Are the super Patreon producers for the month of June. Mm. You want to know who they are?
Who are they?
We got Chester Copperpot, Stan Valentino, Svento7, Pills, baby. Jay Scramo. Yeah, someone changed their name to Pills Baby, I assume because they want to hear that.
Okay.
A.K. Ashley Ray. Thank you, Alan Tomlinson, Wendell Laughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Alexis Adler, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Aaron Layton, John Collins, Amanda King, Son, Loving, Mortal, Andrew Gray, Jadinklage, Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
Did you just write the song of the summer?
I did. That's the song. That's a hot song summer. Here we go.
Top 10.
Hot song summer. Indeed. You are the Gen Z, Steve. Yes. Hot song summer.
Madison, look at me. I am the Gen Z now.
Look at me.
Look at me. Dead ass. I am the Gen Z now.
Oh, hello. Hello, Steve.
You're going to catch a fade if you think you're the Gen Z, because I'm the Gen Z now.
You got all the Riz.
I got the Riz.
No cap. Back to Walt and Michael finally in this episode. That's what we cut to next. And this is a funny scene because Michael's asking about Mr. Locke, right? That's where we find out his name. He's like, who's that old man my son was hanging out with, my little kid? And he's like, it's a secret. and Michael's like, what?
Yeah.
Understandably, if you have a child who's hanging 100%. Out with a strange man who's like, hey, don't tell your parents about what we talk about.
He just said a miracle happened here. And he's like, I don't want you to hang out with him anymore.
Yeah, a miracle did happen here, Walt. We're all alive. Why is that a secret?
No more hanging around him. Mm-hmm. And then he's...
If you were my friend, Dad.
Friends find Vincent. And also, friends don't lie.
Yeah.
And that's where this saying came from. Eleven stole it. She was a Lost fan.
I love this beat because he's like, Walt, I'm going to find your dog. I'm going to find your...
As soon as it stops raining,
Dad's going to find your dog. And then just like that... some extra on the side turned the water off.
I was like,
rain, nothing.
I was like, did he talk to Mother Nature? I was just like, what the heck? Stopped so suddenly.
Like, yeah. And I just love that look. Walt gets him like, hop to it.
Yeah, let's go.
Chop, chop.
So we cut to Michael looking for Vincent in the haunted damn jungle. He hears the roaring and the rustling. That's no good. And something seems to be running towards him. So he runs away.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, was awful.
I know the subtitles always say rustling and it bothers me because what you're actually hearing is like, oh, that was a little
what was
walking,
that?
Walking Daddy.
Yeah.
More like, I don't know how to roar.
That was a good roar. I like both.
There are people that can like do a legitimate lion roar. Roar. Like it's deep in the throat. I don't know how to do it.
That's pretty cool.
Roar.
I want to meet a lion. What would you think if you went to the Sahara and you see a majestic lion with a beautiful golden mane and it goes,
smokes three packs of Newports a day on the Sahara.
Yeah. It's hot out today. I'd catch a zebra if I could run, but I can't go very fast no more.
Yeah. All of my bitches are out hunting.
Yeah. You think I do that shit? No way.
No way.
Nala's out there getting all the food. Out there. It's like, okay, Simba.
I send my girl Nala.
Yeah. Lazy ass.
Gnarly Nala.
And then, so in his fear and his panic, he runs right into Sun, who's naked, bathing. And there's an awkward scene where he...
So for a second, awkward. The way you said that, it almost, from my brain said, he ran into his son, who's naked. No. And I was like, Walt?
The woman, son.
She's washing herself topless.
She is. And he...
I didn't see anything.
He makes it worse, though. They do this in movies a lot where it's like, in some movies play on this trope and they're like, get out.
Yeah.
But there's always like, the character's always like, oh, so sorry. Ah, still here.
Right.
Looking. And wow. And it's always a thing where it's like, okay, no. In real life, what you do is you go, oh. You slam the door.
Sorry.
And you never talk about it, ideally, right?
I did laugh at his like, there was something chasing me.
Yeah.
It seems to be gone now.
I guess part of the scene is that like he's a little worried about her too, because he's like, you know, maybe you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But it's weird that he like hands her clothes. In my mind, I was like, she's not done bathing. She's all wet. Leave.
Yeah.
Like stop touching her underwear. You know?
Yeah. Or but why are you touching her at all?
Yeah. Cover yourself. But it's also like because there was that moment between them before too. So I don't know where they're going with this, but it's kind of a rom-com-y kind of, because she wasn't like super upset, you know? She's kind of like, part of her maybe, I don't know if it's me reading into it, but she's kind of a little bit like, you like that?
You know? Madison, did you get that?
It's hard to read. I think Michael just makes it really awkward to kind of fully grasp what is going on between the two of them. I haven't necessarily picked up any romantic elements between the two.
It was giving, wash my back.
It was giving, while you're here, can you just get that right there?
I can't get this one spot.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's those fish they were eating?
The sea urchin?
Yeah. She's like, I can hook you up with an extra sea urchin if you get the right here. We cut back to the marshal, who again is awake. He's groaning, and throughout this whole sequence, he's just in the background, like the guy from the thing, like,
she's dangerous,
disturbing everyone on the beach.
Yeah,
like, someone shut this guy up.
That's what they literally say.
Like, literally,
I would laugh so hard if he was just going, Kate, Kate,
where are you?
She's so dangerous.
I'm on to you.
Where are my cuffs?
Like, Kate's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't even know this guy.
He's just in the background the whole time. Like,
how many people are named Kate in the world?
Yeah, I mean,
he's just, whoa, here she comes.
Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up.
She's a man eater.
I think he's saying eight.
Yeah. We cut briefly to Locke and Charlie. And he's carving a whistle. He's a handy guy. And Charlie's like, I used tribal flutes once in a recording session.
I'm in a band.
And that's the scene. And then Shannon's talking to Boone. And she's like, I wish he would just die. And she's like, that's real nice, Shannon. But then Saeed, who we've come to understand is a great person, very handy. But again, he's got that politician vibe now. And he's going to Jack like, hey, need any help? Also,
rumor has it,
my constituents are getting upset by all that moaning and groaning.
Constituents.
Can we do something about that? I mean, you know,
like,
I didn't expect that to come from Saeed. I really didn't.
I can't lose another voter.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You need to do something about this.
I promised him in my campaign I wouldn't have dudes whining and dying in the background. Okay.
Can we kill this man? Yes, we can.
Listen.
A vote for Saeed is a vote for uninterrupted sleep from that guy wailing at night.
But yeah, he's like, hey, rumor has it you can't save him. But then we cut to Kate building a fire. Sawyer offers to light it. And he's like, hey, again, hey, everybody Freckles. Knows the guy's got to die, right? I heard you talking. You were telling the hero the same thing. And there's only one. I'm glad I don't have a gun, because they're going to want you to shoot him. Mm-hmm. Okay, frankly. And I would never shoot him.
There's only one bullet in that gun.
There's no way this episode's going to end with me shooting him. And there's only one bullet left. So that'd be kind of poetic.
Be damn near poetic.
And then the marshal's talking, no matter what she says, no matter what. And Jack's like, you breathe like me, no matter how she makes you feel.
That's how they connect.
She'll do anything to get away.
She got to you too, huh?
But I'm not going to tell you her crimes, because the writing in this episode is not on par with the first two. I just want to talk to her alone. In fact, if this warning had any veracity to it, I wouldn't want to talk to her alone. I would tell you what she did. Go get her. It bothers the fuck out of me, dude, if you can't tell.
Right.
Like, tell her, what did she do? You have the opportunity in this moment to use your last words to be of use. And it's like, she got to you too, didn't she? Ooh, she's got moxie. She's got moxie. What are you talking about? Like, she just seduces everybody. Oh, she got to you. That's her power. Mm. Mm. Should have seen this farmer I once knew. All of the sheep.
He almost lost tried to an stop army me from and arresting a leg her. Over her.
But anyway, so then Kate's out there staring at the tent. But first, meanwhile,
back on the road,
we cut back to the farm truck.
Is that a thing? Every flashback, we're going to do the Justice League dude?
Yes.
Please do.
And then he says, basically, the marshal's like, oh, yeah, I'm in the wrong lane. Because the other, do they not drive like British rules in Australia?
I hate this scene so much because.
Yeah. I was curious about that too.
Because again, the marshal's acting, he's driving like a nut job, but like. The plan is, from what I can gather contextually through this conversation he has with Kate, is that he's going to drive Kate to the train station.
Yes.
Where dude would be there and arrest her. Instead, dude like
the marshal's like
floors ass, pulls up to him. He's like doing fingers like, as soon as we get to the train station, bing, 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 bing.
It's dumb.
Like,
if he did nothing, if he was just at the train station waiting for them, none of this would happen.
Or the diner, because he's like, hey, I want to pull off and get some food.
Well, yeah, he would have had a tasty burger, too.
Yeah, yeah. $23,000 and a tasty burger.
Man, but instead, like, I imagine Ray the farmer is kind of like, the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah, you're fucking this whole thing up, mate. I don't know if that's good or not.
He said, I told you I'd meet you at the train station.
Americans.
Nose count.
Is the marshal American?
I think so.
Yeah, he is.
He's chased her all the way from Pennsylvania.
He's a member of the
or wherever.
We're really
harping on that Pennsylvania. We're not sure about that. And Kate causes a wreck, right, on purpose. And that's if you're watching the YouTube, that's the sign for wreck. It's also the sign for rolling if you're a Limp Bizkit fan. Mm. And the truck.
Hot dog flavored water.
Speaking of rolling, the truck rolls several times. Of course, it catches on fire because that's what trucks do in Australia when they roll. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, they're made of pure gasoline.
She pulls. It's guzzling.
Guzzling, yeah. In Australia specifically, yeah, it's guzzling, yeah.
She pulls.
The kangaroos are like. The fuck?
Yeah.
In my front yard?
The fuck?
What the hell?
She pulls Ray out, but first she pulls off his arm, which, how is that not meant to be
funny?
That
was so funny.
It's like an Austin Powers thing. Like, oh.
And it's something that was like only mentioned once. So when it happened, I just was like, oh shit.
I didn't even know it was a fake arm. I just thought he meant like, this one's not so flexible, you know? I was like, oh my God.
This one doesn't work.
I thought he meant like his hand was missing or like his elbow down, but no, it's his whole ass arm.
Yes.
Like a department store dummy's arm pops out of that dude's sleeve.
And I think, is this the part where it goes all the way to the end and he arrests her, right? Like he points the gun at her.
He pulls the gun at her, yeah.
So then it cuts back to the present and he's like, what was that favor you wanted? Like, that's what he wanted, right? Like,
meanwhile, on the plane.
And it cuts back to the plane briefly to remind the audience of what the favor he's talking about is. And she's like, I just wanted to make sure Ray got his 23 grand. He had a hell of a mortgage. And he's like, you're one of a kind. You know that you're a good gal, which is not what you've been telling Jack. The way that you're treating Kate is not the way you're intimating things to Jack.
Which I'm trying to decide if Kate's facade is a misdirection or if it's like she genuinely is just a good person and she was... Like, that's where I'm kind of like, that's where I'm in between right now.
I 100% believe she is a good person. Her crime is complicated. She's mostly innocent or something like that. And the only thing that's giving the vibes that you were getting of like, oh, she might be like a Jason Bourne is because of the fucking overacting Marshall and the way that they wrote that and the way he's doing
it.
Because he's way too dramatic.
Yeah, he's in a completely different movie.
Yeah.
But then the scene gets good because he says, you know, you would have gotten away if you hadn't saved him. And she's like, which is a save the cat kind of thing. So that's how I know she's a good character, is like the writing's kind of like reminding you of that about her.
Well, and it's been twice now that she's tried to help somebody. I mean, she helped the marshal put the mask on when the plane was going down.
Yeah, to her own detriment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you don't look free to me. Because she's like, well, I'm free now. I did get away, right? And he's like, I don't know. I think pretty sure you're on an island. Then you're stuck. and he's like, I'm going to die, right? Which is a pretty powerful scene. And she's honest with him. She's like, yeah.
She said, yeah. Most
likely. Are you going to do it or what? And so eventually it cuts it to outside and you think, oh no, what's Kate going to do? But then she leaves and then we hear a gunshot. And in my mind, I was like, oh, she gave him the gun and he shot himself.
That's what I thought as well.
But no.
Well, because Jack's worried because at that point, Hurley tells Jack that she's trapped, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got the gun.
So he kind of starts to run for the tent, the gunshot. But, you know, Kate had left the tent before the gunshot happened. So it wasn't her. Was it the guy? I thought she gave the gun to him, too, to off himself.
Yeah.
But no, Sawyer shot him and he's still alive. And that's what I mean. Like, is this not comedy?
Oh,
this is Monty Python level.
I was just like, motherfucker, you had one job.
Yeah, shoot him in the head.
One job.
He's like, you shot him in the chest. He's like, I was going for the heart. Well, it's not his heart. He perforated his lung. He's going to die for hours. He's going to bleed out for hours.
Jack was like, you fucking missed, dude.
And Sawyer's like nervously trying to light a smoke. It won't light. And he gets frustrated and throws one of his final cigarettes out of the. He's probably definitely going to look for that in the morning in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
And then what is cool about all this comedy, though, is that Jack has to kill him. Which is upsetting for Jack, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a murderer, Kate.
Like, I got to do it. It's how you do it, all right? It's one thing a doctor would know how to do is mm-hmm. end somebody's life, right?
Yeah.
Like, just reverse doctor.
Yeah.
Think about it. Murder is just reverse doctoring. You just got to
deep. In a way, yeah.
Yeah. You, what's it called? Reverse engineer your healing and yeah. you got death. Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
And then, so then Locke made a dog whistle. And he's sitting there blowing it into the jungle. And then Vincent comes running out eventually. But then he goes to Michael to tell him. He wakes him up. I thought you should be the one to bring his dog back.
My heart.
This is my favorite moment in the entire show so far.
It was so sweet. It was so sweet.
It was so amazing that he did that. That's such
sweet.
That's such a mensch thing to do, mm-hmm. you know? Because mm-hmm. I thought, I was at first when he's running through the wreckage past everybody to wake Michael up, I was like,
Walt, I got your dog.
I was like, where's Vincent? You know?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I was like, what happened? And he's like, hey, I think you should be the one to give him his dog. And I just thought, what a fucking great thing to do.
Very sweet. Very sweet.
And then Kate wants to tell Jack what she did. And frustratingly, as an audience member, he says, I don't want to know. Doesn't matter,
oh
Kate.
Oh, my gosh.
What we did, who we were, doesn't matter. 3 days ago, we all died. And I'm like, I want to know.
I was laughing so hard because while I was watching the scene, the thought popped in my head, which is like, I'm going to tell you what I did. It doesn't matter, Kate. We have a clean slate. We're all new people now. Okay, but like, he wanted me because I was selling kids to sex trafficking rings.
Yeah, like it could be, there are some things you can't come back from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. Jack, like, well. Shit.
Hmm.
I taught Timothy McVeigh everything he knows. You know, it could be really bad. You need to listen to hear her out, you know.
Yeah.
His manifesto was full of grammar errors. I'm an English teacher.
I punched it up. Here's a copy.
No, but can
this conversation actually like kind of spurred on a bunch of fan theories for where the show was going because Jack says the line, 3 days ago, we all died. Because that was a big theory for the longest time was like, are they in purgatory? It was all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, do we ever find out what Kate did?
Yes.
Okay. Do we find out this season?
I don't remember if it's this season or not, to be honest.
Just Google it. Fuck him. It's frustrating, though, in the moment.
But I feel like regardless, I'm going to continue to watch the show after season one. So,
but then we get kind of like a montage of kindness.
Yeah, I call it montage of good deeds.
Yeah. It's like Hurley's just jamming and cleaning. I think that's a CD player.
He's got a Walkman.
Walkman, yeah.
Did they call the CD players Walkmans?
I thought that's what I would have called it.
I thought the tape ones were Walkmans. And then
I had a Walkman CD player. So that's why I call
it. It was a Walkman brand CD player.
Yeah.
So did I.
Did you really?
Yeah. I had the, 2008 Grammy nominee CD. It was my favorite. My Humps by Black Eyed Peas was on it. It was
so
good.
Did you ever get those things in the mail where it was like buy 20 CDs for a penny?
Oh, I remember those.
And it was real.
I didn't do those, but I remember.
You could mail it in with a penny and you would get. So I got my first musical things ever was all from that. And it was the Slim Shady LP. It was Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Wow.
Damn.
And it was the Smash Mouth, that album, whatever it was called. But it was the one with the All-Star and stuff on it.
Yeah. Nice.
It was. Anyway, it's funny thinking back, though. But mainly it was I just listened to Guns N' Roses and Eminem on repeat at like 9 years old. By the way, that album is not good for kids, the Eminem album. It's wild.
It's like, they had a penny. This is
they had a penny, man.
This
gave
is
it
an
to
adult.
Them. Yeah, that's my... Why you keep saying wow? It's just because it was such a random assortment of music.
What? Which one?
All of it. You just grew on wow.
I was... For a penny, you were given so many...
I don't know why they did that. It was like a mail-in thing.
And then I need to correct myself. It was the 2007 Grammy-nominated CD.
Way different.
You would have had pitchforks coming after you.
Jesus Take the Wheel, Black Horse in the Cherry Tree by KT Tunstall. Ain't No KT Other Man by Christina Aguilera. I remember my mom, because I would play it in the Walkman, and then we had a CD player in the kitchen. And when My Humps would come on, they said the word ass. And so my mom would like get really mad at me when I would say it. And so I had to like just say the letter A whenever it would be like the ass part. It was just so funny. But it's a very vivid memory. And I remember my mom got it for me for Valentine's Day, weirdly. And but she had a Walkman and then bought me a Walkman anyway.
Good times, though.
Yeah.
It's pre-iPod.
You know? So you you weren't raised on Kids Bop?
No, I never listened to Kids Bop, but I did have the adult version of that, which is like the now 20. Like it was.
Now that's what I call music.
Yeah, I had a couple of those.
Volume 3.
Something like that.
38.
Something like that. I did have the Disney Mania CDs, though. Those fucking slapped.
Yeah. Let's get down to business.
Mm-hmm. Disney Mania 4, I think, was the best one. That's the purple one. Maybe that's 3. That's the purple cover. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
No. Yeah, I have like the first 3.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Yeah.
Wow.
You
get
know
with
how high
it.
I was in
Be
2007?
Be cultured. Get
extremely.
Cultured.
My girlfriend, she gets the Kids Bops for her boys, and she was showing me the insanity that some of them are, and Lizzo's About That Time. She like specifically played that one for me, and dude, look that shit up. It's a fucking hoot. I laugh so... It's about that time. And then instead of thick 30, they just say 6:30.
It's amazing how they alternate
I'm gonna need more
the
pop
lyrics.
In my cup.
I just let my kids listen to the real ones.
Wasn't there a version for Meg Thee Stallion? Like a Meg Thee Stallion song was adopted by Kids Bop.
Yeah, there is. But I don't know like what they changed, but there 100% is.
Everything.
A lot will have to have been changed.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
My daughter's 10, 11 months old, and she loves the Lumineers.
Oh, stomp clap. We love a stomp clap queen.
Chief, something about their, like, it's not like random because I put on Jack Johnson. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, banana
that's
pancakes.
Good. That's a good
You're
going
to love banana pancakes. Mm-hmm. Crying. Won't stop in the back of the car.
Oh.
Back to Ho-Hey. Instant quiet. Just staring at the mirror looking
well,
at
I
me.
Well, I mean, you are making her listen to Jack Johnson.
I love Jack Johnson.
Oh.
Jack Johnson's
hey,
fire.
I like Jack Johnson.
I know, I'm just making a dumb joke.
It's a surfer turned rock star because he got hurt, buddy. it's a real story. He was a pro surfer and he got hurt and started playing guitar. Anyway, this isn't a Jack Johnson cast, but if anybody's interested, I'll tell you all about it. Pippin keeps licking my toes.
I like your toes.
But yeah, so we're on the montage of kindness. After the CD player, we see Jen caressing his sleeping wife. Boone gives, which is really funny because I know that you said there was like sexual tension between the siblings. And the way that they cut this, it was like man and his wife cut to Boone being nice to Shannon. And I was like, yeah, I could have split those up and made it less awkward.
Well, and you have two very attractive people. Like just, yeah, they, mm-hmm. I feel like they're not shaping that well. Continue. Sorry.
I'm not just wherever Ian Somerhalder goes.
Yeah. There's going to be sexual tension.
Sexual tension follows.
That's true.
He literally gave her the nerdy. He gave her like, I fixed your sunglasses with paper clips. The nerdiest things ever. And I'm like, oh, I would lick those sunglasses out of your hands, sir.
You could hear Marshall from the tent, who's dead, go, damn, when he walks by.
I'm in summer. Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Talk about a rigid abdomen.
I'm glad that we saved the snacks from the plane.
And Saeed found an apple and gives it to Sawyer, who's been really racist towards him the entire time. And Sawyer's
so
like
being a sad boy.
Aw. Al Jazeera gave me an apple because he still hasn't learned, right? Like,
but he's a sad boy because he failed at murdering a guy.
What's going on with Charlie and the late fingers? I was confused.
I don't know.
I think he's just trying to be edgy.
And then I took the note. Is Charlie going to be a daddy?
Because
Claire's behind him.
Yeah, they framed that they framed that strategically.
And then Walt is reunited with Vincent.
Reunited and it feels so good.
And that wonderful moment is undercut by this like 360 camera shot of
extreme close up
looking evil as fuck with music like da da da.
It's got the monster noises playing in
the
background.
What's going on with that? What's with Locke?
It was very creepy.
I still maintain Locke was not on the plane. He lives there and he's evil.
But he made a whistle and found Vincent and reunited the father and son.
He's been on that beach playing backgammon since it was invented.
Mm. He invented backgammon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I taught Jesus Christ how to play this game.
Mm-hmm. He was trash.
He sucked.
But now it's time for Beach Please.
Beach Please.
Trivia with Steve.
Bum, 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 bum. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't have a lot of trivia for you.
Okay.
We have the trivia of the title meaning clean slate, but we've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other little bit of trivia I had was just, it's not even trivia. It's just something I found funny. And that was Madison the dog has an IMDb page.
Shut up.
And of course I looked up her IMDb. She's only been in Lost.
I was hoping for like an Air Bud cameo or something.
But no, she had like a profile photo and everything.
Because it's the same breed of dog as Air Bud, right?
I think Air Bud is
not a Labrador Retriever. She's just a lab.
Well, I think she's a yellow lab, and then Air Bud is a Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's more of a Lassie situation, huh? Wait, what's Lassie?
A Border Collie.
I don't know about dogs.
Are you like dog blind?
I'm dog.
You just see dogs, there's a Lassie.
Are you sexist, but for dogs?
I only know like there's little ones and there's big ones.
Right. Long-haired ones, short-haired ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice ones, mean ones.
Yeah. Basically the same kind of, you know, discrimination that I have for penises.
He has two dogs.
You have two dogs.
I do. I have a Dobby.
I have a
Beagle.
I mean, you do have a Dobby.
And a half lab, half Australian Shepherd.
Aww.
Named Jax. But I only know the breeds because my wife teaches me these things. Like, Dobby is a beagle. I know what a beagle is. I know what I thought I knew what a golden retriever was. St. Bernard, is that Turner and Hooch?
Yes.
Like the one with the slobbery jowls. Like, that's a St. Bernard, right?
Maybe. I know St. Bernard is the they have like the jugs on their collar in the cartoons.
Okay.
The jugs of whiskey.
Okay. Vincent is a yellow lab retriever.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess.
Is that like a combination of dogs?
No. So, golden retrievers in my head are long haired.
Yeah, they are.
They're a little shaggier. Okay, Homeward Bound, right, is a golden retriever.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The older one.
Yes. Guys, we gotta go home.
Oh, that dog's name's Madison. I know that we talked about that last time. But
now it's really hitting home.
Well, it's just, I don't know. Naming dogs human names is very funny to me.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, like I was in the grocery store the other day and this woman, you know, she's very extra, had her dog in a stroller. And two other women walked up to her and was like, oh, what's the dog's name? And she went, Adam.
God, that's so funny.
What the fuck?
This is my dog.
Hence the personifying of the dog.
Right, yeah. It's funny.
God damn it, Craig. You pissed in the living room again.
And I've also never.
Yeah, the neighbors are like, damn.
Dogs are never named Madison, so.
That one is the most famous one ever.
Shout out to all the Madison names.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, yeah. Whoop. So that ends Beach Please, yeah.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, what's your number three?
My number three is Orange Peel Guy tells Michael to go where Vincent is so that he can look like a hero in Walt's eyes. I thought it was very touching. So sweet.
Such a great moment. Steve, what's your number three?
My number three moment is Sawyer botching the euthanasia attempt on. Just because that I like that scene because it is kind of funny. You're right.
Yeah.
But I also like it because it adds more to Sawyer because the whole time he's like, I'm this big, tough guy. I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to do what's right. And then he messes it up and instantly, like, you could just see all that bravado and machismo just like wash off of him in that moment because he knows he did a bad thing and he feels racked with guilt about it. And then Jack has to be the one. The dude who's like, I'm not a murderer, Kate, has to be the one to mercy kill this dude because he can't help this guy anymore. And I think that's a good, a really good payoff to these two characters. You know, even though they're not the main characters of this episode, it was a really good payoff for their individual stories in this episode.
Mm.
That's why I like it.
My number three was when Hurley meets Kate. And he doesn't introduce himself because he's terrified of her. And there's that really awkward exchange. And then he's like, oh, I got to go get the water. And he runs away because I love Hurley. That was funny. And the idea of being terrified of Evangeline Lilly is funny to me. Even though her beauty is terrifying, I get it.
She would kick your ass, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like.
She's a Marvel superhero. Okay.
That's true.
She's the Wasp.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll sting you.
Yeah.
They sting.
So whip your ass.
You about to get to stingers.
So sting your ass.
Multiple times. They don't die like bees.
Mm-mm.
Madison, what's your number two?
My number two is the I guess, is it classified as a car chase scene? I guess not, because he wasn't chasing anyway. The driving scene between Kate Ray and the marshal, I just think for the unnecessary, or I should say the unintended comedy that came from that whole, you know, Kate pulling the arm off of Ray, the finger gun, just the whole scene in general. But I did like how there was like a little bit of action in this episode. And so that's why it was my number two.
Awesome. Steve, your number two.
My number two is the scene between Jack and Sawyer on the plane. When they're talking about, you know, Sawyer's rummaging through the luggage. And I really like this thing where Jack, who's this quote unquote hero, he wants to protect things. He wants to preserve life. He wants to help as much as possible, is being faced with the reality from Sawyer, who does bring up a good point where it's like, hey, we're on an island for a very long time. We don't know how long we're going to be on here. They both know they could be there for 16 years because that's how long the French recording has been playing. We have to either, and Sawyer's going at it from a point of like, you know, all every man for himself. But Jack's being kind of confronted with this idea, like, we don't know how long we're going to be here. Is it right to use all of our medicine on one person who probably isn't going to make it? And I like that sort of problem that Sawyer brings up. And just, it's also funny seeing Sawyer just turn on a light in the dark going, boo.
That was actually on my short list as well. But my note was, I'm in the wild.
I'm in the wild, baby.
My number two is the botched euthanizing of the marshal. He's still alive. It's really funny to me, but also not so much in that moment. You know, it's just funny to talk about, but it's like awful. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, I think what made it funny, I don't know if it was Hurley or somebody was nearby when they heard, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it was just like a extra comedy beat to it, but it's an actual terrifying thing and it's awful. And I'm wondering how Jack did it. I wonder how he finished the job in there.
Mm-hmm.
All he had was that like razor.
Gave him a big hug.
What if he's in there like Curly and Moe in it and he's like trying to poke his eyes and the guy's like,
so he's blocking him and everything. I have the will to live.
But Madison, your favorite moment of episode three?
My favorite moment, I think, is your number two, and Steve, your number three, right? Which is where, you know, Sawyer tries to, or kills Marshall and then misses. But I really liked kind of how that scene unfolded, because you had the conversation between Hurley and Jack outside the tent. You know, Hurley's like, why would you leave Kate in there by herself? She has a gun. You see Kate walk out. You hear the gunshot. And, you know, you think, oh, he did, you know, she gave him the gun to kill himself. And then Sawyer walks out. And I liked that misdirection. And I liked how it was filmed to show that misdirection. But yeah, that was my favorite scene.
Steve, your favorite moment of episode three?
My favorite moment, I feel like it might be at least one of your all's favorite moments, maybe, if I was a bet man. That is the moment where John Locke finds Vincent, tells Michael that he found, hey, I found your boy's dog, and allows Michael to be the one to step up and be the dad that Walt needs. Like, I think that I love kind things, and this is a very kind moment. This guy who has the skills to make a whistle finds this dog, and instead of being like, hey, kid, I found your dog, ha ha ha, he goes to the father that he can pick up on, like, hey, this family's gone through a trauma. They're having a hard time. This dude is trying. I can see this guy's trying real hard to connect with his estranged son. I'm going to give this one to this dude.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really sweet. And I just love that character. And I love Michael and Walt. And I love love.
It was a very sweet moment.
It's my number one moment as well, as I said earlier. And it's like, he put a lot of effort into that. The guy had to carve a whistle to get, like, he thought about this act of kindness for a long time and then, like, did it. You know, it was a very thoughtful, powerful thing. My first welling of the tears in Lost, I think, was this moment. So love it so much.
Wow.
I think it's a phenomenal moment. Great. But now it's time to nominate our passenger princess, our favorite performance of the episode. I think I have a hot take here.
Ooh,
I think I have a hot take too. I'm not really sure. Madison.
Pressure's on. My passenger princess performance goes to Evangeline Lilly. I feel like what I like about her character at this point is, you know, we're starting to learn more about her backstory. And, you know, a lot is unknown. And I think she's doing a really good job at not giving away too much of who her character is. I mean, I think she's showing a lot of good intention, but there's this very, you know, the Marshal is making a big deal out of something that she has done in the past that is dangerous. And so I think she's doing a really good job at not either giving away too much or being very good at misdirecting the audience to make us feel a certain way about her and also other people around her that she's on the island with. But I really enjoyed her with her flashback scenes. I think she did a really, really good job opposite of Ray and the Marshal. So she's awesome. My passenger princess.
I mean, she's really my number one every episode, but I just have to like finagle it to not embarrass myself. Steve, who's your passenger princess?
My passenger princess, this is my hot take, I think. I kind of want to watch your all's eyes and faces when I say this, but I'm nominating actor Nick Tate.
I knew.
Who plays Ray the farmer.
No.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say the Marshal.
No, that's Frederick Laney.
Okay.
But no, Nick Tate, the guy who plays Ray the farmer.
I don't hate it.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
I considered it was going to be him or Evangeline Lilly, because they are the ones that are kind of bringing on the acting in this episode. But I went with him because when else are we going to have a chance to give him an award? And I really did like his sort of like calming nature. Like, hey, I'm looking out for you. Hey, you can stay here. But then the like, I'm sorry, Kate, I just need $23,000. Like, I like the actor. I think he's a sweet, kind old man. Well, hopefully he is in real life. He's got a hell of a mortgage. And his poor wife passed away 8 months ago. And he can't do all them chores. He's a one-armed man. Right. He killed Harrison Ford's wife. Mm. So, no, not really. But, that's my pick for this week.
So Chris? My choice is Josh Holloway, who plays
good
Sawyer.
Choice.
That is a good choice.
I think that every show needs a character who is a character. You know what I mean? And this guy's a character.
Mm-hmm.
But there's depths to him. And we start to see that in this episode. And I think he's played really well by Josh Holloway. Because he could easily be the way he was in episode 2 for the entirety of the show. And it wouldn't really like surprise me, you know, because again, every show needs a character who is a character.
Mm-hmm.
But also you can just see, like you said, there's a lot of complexity to him, like especially his face when he receives the apple. Little moments like that, I think, are pretty difficult. And even though he does ham it up sometimes, I'm still really impressed with his performance. So I don't know how many opportunities I'll have to nominate Josh Holloway. Maybe a lot, because, again, a lot of people in my comments were talking about how much they love Sawyer. So apparently this character goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm glad I said he was brave with the polar bear, because I was a little like, you know what I mean? I didn't want to praise him too much.
Oh, he was the way brave.
The way he had acted. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, apparently he's pretty heroic later on. I saw the seeds of that. That's my nomination. And now it's time for Lost and Found, where we keep track of the mysteries that we've got, talk about any new ones that have opened up and any of the ones we had that have been solved. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything to change in this episode. I could be wrong. What do you guys think?
I agree. I was going to put the floor to see if there were any mysteries that you guys brought up. There were a couple things I thought I could bring up, but I thought, hey, if I bring attention to this, but they don't, I feel like that's a spoiler. So I wanted to see if you guys picked up on them, but if you didn't, we're going to leave it. I do want to run through the list real quick, because some of these we might be able to take off, maybe.
Sure.
The first one, what is Vincent doing? The dog. Do you think we can take that off?
We can take that off.
He was just being a good boy.
He's just a dog. He's just a dog.
Evading these monsters in the forest.
Yeah, effortlessly.
Yeah.
We do have Orange Mouth Man, ? What's his deal? What's his secret? I added to this, what is the miracle?
Sure.
As we found out, the secret is a miracle happened, but what is the miracle?
Yeah.
We also have, what is the monster? What happened to the plane? Why is there a polar bear on the island? Where are they? What are Kate's crimes? And why are there French people? Just in general.
Why French? Yeah, I don't think any of those were solved, and I don't think there's anything to add. I mean,
well, I was going to say last episode, I had something written down and I forgot to mention it, but what is the written letter that Sawyer had when he was looking at it last episode?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is Sawyer's letter?
Yeah.
I like that. I'm adding it to the list. Whatever was written to him inspired him to join the crew and be more proactive in the gang.
It's Kate's manifesto she gave to Timothy. It's like, wow, there's a lot of compelling evidence.
There's a lot of compelling evidence in this. I better go with her.
I'm trying. Since you said it that way, you kind of led the witness, and apparently there are nuggets in episode 3, but I'm racking my brain. I can't find anything that really intrigues me.
I'm excited for this.
Locke's definitely the most question mark character so far.
I'm really excited for next week, because next week is one
episode
of
4 favorite, is supposed to be a banger.
Yeah, episode 4 is one of my favorite episodes. I hope you enjoy it. There's one thing, like, it's been killing me because no one's brought it up so far in the background, but it's this thing that's happened in the background of every episode and no one's picked up on it, and it's killing me because I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait.
In the background?
Yeah.
Like on the beach?
Yeah.
Do I need to watch episodes 1 through 3 to find out?
No, we're about to find out in 4.
You're about to find out
too late.
But it's funny because it's a thing that they talk about in 4, but no one's brought it up so far. But it's been in the background. They've been very subtle about it. And I can't wait for you guys to watch episode 4 and pick up on what that was.
Well, tune in for that convo next week. You can support the show by going to patreon.com/streamingthings. If you can't, that's completely understandable. It's very hard times out here. You can always rate and review the show on wherever you're listening to this, or simply listening like you are right now is a huge help. Thank you for that. You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com and follow us on all of our socials. And also, you can go to our website, which is streamingthingspod.com. Streamingthingspod.com. Made by our very own Mando Jen, who's a patron and one of the most wonderful people on the Discord that you can chat with whenever you want if you're on there.
One of the G-est G's that ever G'd.
The OSG we've ever seen.
Check out the website. It's pretty.
Don't go to streamingthingspod.net. That is something else. We do not. I don't know what it is. I'm just kidding.
.gov.
Yeah. But that's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I am Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, hosted by Kit Laser.
Happy streaming.
Happy streaming. Happy streaming.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.